Now to take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians. And we're still in the second chapter. And I'll be reading from verses 10 to verse 16. The title of my message today is simply this, Dusting It Off Part 2. And so we'll be taking a look at how this passage guides us in that way. Also want to be sure that everybody's got a copy of the replanting covenant. That should have been handed out to you. We're going to take a look at that in just a minute. But find your place in that passage. And as you find your way there, follow along as I read. The Apostle Paul writes this. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But Paul writes, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His Word, and bless us as we seek to practice it and understand it. In my sermon last week, I mentioned that it was time for us to dust off some important things related to replanting. If you recall my message last week, the first thing was this, replanting is God's work. Okay? The second thing is that replanting rests squarely on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then third, the Holy Spirit demonstrates the power of God. And so there's a real need and desire in the body of Christ, in the church, for the Holy Spirit to be present in such a way that there is a demonstration of God's power. It's more than just showing up on Sunday mornings and being a part of a polite worship service, singing songs and maybe even lifting your hands to the Lord, praying prayers and paying attention during the sermon, and then finishing up and going on about our business and about our week. There really is something about God showing up in such a way and with such force that there is a demonstration of His power through the Holy Spirit in the midst of His people. And Paul talks about that. And for me, I believe that that's a very important component to the Lord replanting our church. Now, as we get to our passage today, Paul goes on to say in verse 10 that it is the Holy Spirit who not only demonstrates the power of God, but He reveals. Look at verse 10. Paul says that the Holy Spirit reveals. Now, the word here, that old New Testament word for that we have for reveal, is a word that we also get the word apocalypse or apocalyptic. And when we hear the word apocalypse or apocalyptic, we think about something in the future, something that's mysterious and even probably scary. It's an apocalypse. It's the end of things. The world is coming to an end. But really, it carries more with it this idea of an uncovering or a revealing. To take that a little bit further, it carries the idea of making something known. And I actually like this added meaning of making something manifest. Now, you know what it means for something to be made manifest? It means that it actually shows up. It's something that becomes a reality. So there's something about this work of the Holy Spirit revealing that makes things manifest. The things of God, the truths of God, the Word of God, the presence of God, that there is this work of the Holy Spirit that makes all of that about God manifest. It's not just a topic of conversation. It's not just an idea or an imagination that we have or a hope that we have, but there's something of the Holy Spirit's work among us that these important things of God become manifest. That is this work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit demonstrates the power of God, but then the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God and makes them manifest. Isn't that awesome? What does the Holy Spirit reveal? Well, look at verse 9. This was in our passage last week, but let me refresh our memory in verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Youth, I want to tell you that before you left last week, God was already preparing for you an experience. God was already preparing for you, you that love Him, the love that is in you for the Lord. He was already preparing things for you so that when you showed up at camp, you just walked into what God had already prepared for you to experience. That's incredible. The Lord cares about us that much. He's that attentive and that attuned to our lives that He is already preparing things for us that we do not even know yet. Some of you are beginning like a new life in a way, new opportunities that are beginning for you. I want to tell you, God has already prepared things for you. And so pay attention to that. Be open to what it is that God wants to do in this new time in your life. He wants to take you from where you are and move you toward where He wants you to be. He never wants you to remain stuck where you are. Well, the things God has prepared for us, for those who love Him. So what does the Holy Spirit reveal? Well, He reveals the things God has prepared for those who love Him. And I would add that the things God has prepared in Christ for those who love Him. So the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals, the one who uncovers, the one who dusts off. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes known and who makes manifest. I love that aspect of the Spirit's work. He makes manifest the things God has prepared for us. Robertsville, I believe that this passage indicates to us that God has prepared some things for us. Do you believe that? I believe that God has prepared some things for us and that the Holy Spirit's presence here means that He is going to be making manifest those things that God has already prepared for us in Christ. Things that are not currently a reality, the Holy Spirit makes manifest. He brings them into being. So, it is actually the Holy Spirit who is the one responsible for dusting off the important things, the essential things, the life-giving things for us as Jesus's people. That really is our identity, isn't it? That we now belong to Jesus and we are His people. And what church is on a Sunday like this is that it is Jesus's people gathered. And I want to say that your presence here is in a way a manifestation of who we are as Jesus's people. It actually brings to life in a way the very person of Jesus, because He said that when you are gathered together in My name, you need to know that I am there in your midst. So your presence here today is no insignificant thing. It actually is a part of the Holy Spirit making manifest the things that the Lord has already prepared for us. Let me ask you this. What is it that the Holy Spirit is dusting off in your relationship with Him? I don't believe that there's no one here that has need of the Holy Spirit dusting some important things off in our lives. I know that I need the Lord to come along and dust off some things, to help me to see some things that I've forgotten, or maybe some things I've never seen before. When Jack was talking about the message of the camp this week, dealing with repentance, I heard him share something that was a truth that I'd never really considered. And I got my pen out and I wrote it down because I don't want to forget it. And that's something when God speaks to you in the midst of a place like this, write it down. Don't forget it. But it was this, that repentance is not just a turning, although that's important, but it also includes this aspect that I've never really connected to repentance, and that is that aspect of taking responsibility. So a part of the turning back to God is taking responsibility for the way that you have lived your life when you were turned away from God. And that turning back to God is God's way of inviting you back to Him, but also saying, my child, you have to take responsibility for your life. And so, in a way, the Lord is speaking in that way. So what is the Lord wanting to dust off in your life, to uncover in your life, to make known to you, to make manifest in your life? Maybe it is reminding you of a truth from His Word. Maybe it's reminding you of a spiritual practice that has been fruitful in your life in the past, and the Holy Spirit is coming along to dust it off and say, my child, I want you to come back to that spiritual practice because there are some things I want to do in your life. Has there ever been a time in your life where you entered into just a season where you felt like the Lord wanted you to fast? And in that season of fasting, the Lord did a thing in your life that would not have happened otherwise, but He led you into that, and He worked in your life during that. Maybe the Lord is dusting off that spiritual practice in your life for this season, and He's calling you into that because He wants to reveal some things to you. Maybe it's devoting yourself more to the reading of His Word, being in His Word more often. Maybe more focus in prayer or in intercession. I was reading a book recently, and it talked about the ministry of intercession in the church, and it talked about how woefully short we have come, we've been in our ministry of intercession, of prayer. And the question was this: how much more could God have done in our world, in our church, in our lives, in our families, had we been interceding and taking that ministry seriously? And maybe God is calling you and dusting that off in your life for this particular time. Maybe it's a commitment that you've made earlier in your life to the Lord and you've slacked off on it. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to dust that off and to bring you back to that commitment that you've made to Him. Maybe it is interceding about a particular thing or about a particular person. You say, well, Pastor, I've been praying half my life for that thing, for that person, to no avail. Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. And maybe the Holy Spirit today even is dusting that off in your life to say, my child, enter back into the work of prayer about that thing because I am listening and I'm wanting you to be praying about it. If something is being brought to your heart, to your mind, even now, it's the Holy Spirit doing His work of revealing, of dusting it off. When we began replanting last year, I introduced a covenant. And honestly, it was simply a way to get us on the same page, as many of us as could, pulling in the same direction, walking together in step with the Spirit. Now, if you've got it, just take it off, and we want to dust it off a little bit. Now, for some of you, this is the first time you've ever seen it. And teenagers, I think it's important that you have a copy. If you've got it, go ahead and pull it out. Do y'all have a copy? If not, we want to take time and let you guys get a copy of that. But anyway, so last year, I wanted to introduce this as a way of saying to us as a people, this is what replanting is calling for from us. And that was my belief. It was what I believed the Lord was calling us to as a church. And so I think it's important to dust this off in a way and to let the Holy Spirit to speak to us and call us to what He wants for us. And so let's take a look at this, the replanting Robertsville Covenant. And let me add this about replanting. Replanting, last year we began the process. I began preaching about it and sharing about it. And we began to organize ourselves around this work of replanting, of God's replanting. But it has not ended. It has just begun. And so we are still a church where God is replanting us. So believing that God is wanting to replant Robertsville Baptist Church in the Robertsville community, we covenant together to faithfully follow Jesus Christ into replanting Robertsville by or in these ways: gathering weekly for worship, where we seek to glorify God in everything; committing to the call of Jesus Christ to make disciples; committing to being a growing disciple of Jesus and to seek to disciple those He leads me to; committing to join together with others in the replant, to go out into the Robertsville community, to sow the gospel by serving others, befriending neighbors, and introducing Jesus Christ to those who are far from Him; praying regularly for our pastors, for lay leaders, for our church family, and doing the work of prayer in strategic spiritual matters; supporting the replanting with my time, talents, and treasures; being a cheerful giver to God; being an obedient and faithful follower of Jesus in my lifestyle; seeking to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and give evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in my life and the life of the church; seeking God's kingdom that is such a priority to Jesus Christ; committing myself to this end, that God will be glorified in me, in Robertsville, and in the Robertsville community. Wow. That's a high bar. It's aspirational. Inspirational. I'm reading over it right now, and it's like the Holy Spirit's dusting some things off. Say, okay, Pastor, what about this? What about that? Dusting some things off. And I wonder if the Holy Spirit is doing that very same work in your heart, dusting some things off. I pray that He is. I know that He is, because I know that He's here, and I know that a part of the work of the Holy Spirit is a revealing work. Now, I'm not foolish enough to think that a covenant like this is given in the same way as the Holy Spirit gave the Scriptures, okay? But in our passage, Paul makes mention in verse 13 of an important truth. Look back at verse 13. He says this: "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the" who? Spirit. Explaining what? Spiritual realities with what? Spirit-taught words. I love that phrase, Spirit-taught words. It captures what I think that this covenant is. These are Spirit-taught words that call us to walk in step together as a church family with His Holy Spirit. Our replanting covenant is a kind of Spirit-taught expression. And I love that. I believe that as we're able to covenant together in this way, God will bless us beyond what we can think or imagine. Do you believe that? Our life together as a church is much more than just as an organization seeking to serve the community, as great as that is and as fruitful as that can be. We are a people living in this community according to the kind of spiritual realities Paul refers to in verse 13. I mentioned one of those spiritual realities that we live by last week, that in our life together, we're seeking the demonstration of God's power through His Holy Spirit. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know exactly what a demonstration of God's power fully looks like in 2023. It fills me with a little bit of fear and trepidation, but also with some excitement and some anticipation. But I can imagine it could look like freedom. Freedom from addictions. I think it could look like victory in our personal lives over sin, over things that displease the Father. I think it could look like great gains in our spiritual growth, the desire that we've always had to grow deeper spiritually. I think that a demonstration of God's power means that there would be some great gains in spiritual growth. I think that a demonstration of God's power could include healing of sickness and disease. It was the prophet Isaiah who said that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. It's his words, not mine. And I think that the demonstration of God's power could and probably should include his healing of our infirmities, of our sicknesses, of our diseases. I think that a display, a demonstration of God's power could include overcoming poverty. It could include freedom from the devil's oppression. It could include increased intercession and prayer. It could include this demonstration of God's power through the Holy Spirit, new ideas that He gives birth to in our hearts, fleshed out among us for outreach into our community. A demonstration of God's power involves people who are lost and disillusioned, they becoming found and restored. So I throw out another question to you today. What do you think would be a demonstration of God's power among us? What are your thoughts about that? What are your hopes about a demonstration of God's power in our midst? I throw that question out to you. I really believe the Spirit's power can be demonstrated among us and through us as we live out the Spirit-taught expressions among us, including our replanting covenant. One last reminder, and then I'll wrap it up. We are God's work. We are God's work. Almost 80 years ago, God began something in the hearts of some people that gave birth to this people. God gave birth to this people. And all along the way, all those decades, God has been at work and continues to be at work here. We are His work. We are a spiritual body. We speak spiritual words, and we seek spiritual realities. Take a look at chapter 3 and verse 9. If you just have your Bibles open, you can flip over to chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, this is the part in 1 Corinthians where Paul, he's kind of given the Corinthians a mild slap on the wrist. And because they were taking sides. And so some of the people were saying, well, we follow Paul. And then there were others that were saying, well, we follow Apollos, who was another apostle type person. And then some people said, well, we follow Cephas or Peter. And then the really spiritual people in the church, in that church said, well, we follow Jesus. And so they were divided, and it was creating a dissension and the kinds of dynamics that happen when groups of people become divided like that. And so Paul is correcting them. He basically says this, who is Paul? Who is Cephas? Who is Apollos? You know, we're just simply workers. One plants, one waters, but God does what? God gives the increase. So we are God's. And so he gets down to verse 9 and he says this, for we are co-workers, or co-laborers in God's service. This is not our work, Paul says. This is God's work. And we are co-laboring with God in this work. And then he says this, you are God's field. And if that didn't quite communicate all that Paul wanted to communicate, he said this. He added this. His building. So if you can't get into the metaphor of you being a field, well, then think about it this way. You're a building. But whether you think of yourself as a field or as a building, you are God's. And God is planting you. He is replanting you. He is fertilizing you. He is nurturing you. He is bringing about the growth and the harvest and the increase when he says you are God's field. And then if you think about it as a building, yeah, I've preached about this before. There's another passage where Paul talks about us being the building. God lays the foundation. He does the prep work. He lays the foundation, pours the foundation, and then he begins building the building. He puts the sides up and puts the material on the side and then puts a roof on it. And then he fills up the insides. He builds the whole building. You're God's building. Paul is telling those Corinthians, you're God's field. Well, if you can't get into that, you're God's building. But nevertheless, what you need to know is you are God's work. All of this is God's work that he accomplishes through his Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be free. May the Holy Spirit be free. Holy Spirit, you are free to work in our midst as you seek to reveal, as you uncover, as you dust off. Holy Spirit, as you make manifest what God the Father has already freely given us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I humble myself before you. Lord, your word has so much strength and power for those of us who believe. And even for those of us who doubt, those of us who would even say, I don't know if I believe. Lord, your word speaks a better word to us. And so may our hearts be open to you. Lord, may you dust off kind of the inner parts of us that perhaps have become covered up with hurt or pain or anger or unbelief. Or, Lord, we become distracted by other concerns and worries that cause us to be anxious. Lord, those parts of our lives that have become covered over so that even our faith is beginning to waver. You know the parts of your life that really need a good dusting off by the Holy Spirit. I can't look into your heart. I can't see what's happening inside of you. But God can see it. And God can diagnose it. And God can be the remedy for it. And God can pour in hope and peace and strength and power and victory and healing. God is able to provide all that we have need of. But perhaps our confession today, Lord, is to say that what we do is we just allow things to become dusty. And our hearts become cluttered. And the soil of our hearts become filled with rubble. And weeds grow up and kind of bind us up. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come now and that you would reveal to us, that you would uncover and dust off and make manifest and make known to us, and that you would do your work, for we are your field, we are your building, we are your temple, you abide and inhabit us. We are your people gathered today. And so, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, do your work, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to sing a final song today.